lifestyle and ecology and all the problems that follow out of that. When I worked in a small group that was concerned with problems of the third world, and I especially was interested in appropriate technology like low-cost housing or heating systems and those things. But shortly after that, I discovered that that first we of the Western civilized world are causing the problems of the third and fourth world, and second, that we already have the same problems and will have bigger problems in future, that we really live already in a crisis. And then I thought, okay, I better start thinking about our problem and start working here before looking out into the third world. For several years we have heard that we are living in ecological crisis which concerns all parts of life. Noticeable components and signs of the crisis include, for example, the energy crisis, 73, the scarcity of resources, worsening worldwide economic instabilities, pollution of environment, inhuman living, and so on and so on. And before I really started drawing and planning this ecological village as a thesis, I read a lot, started 2 years ago, and then I wrote a theoretical work, and that is mostly the basis for all the plans. So I started to find out what is this ecological crisis like, and what parts of life can we see it. And I found out things that are very important in the field of energy, for resources, for food, for health, for environment, for economics, and then I considered the social situation, and as a special thing I thought about the nuclear power, and then further on about human aspects and world political aspects. So I tried to find out what is wrong and pointed that out more broad. The causes for the ecological crisis are rooted in our economic and social order, a development out of a widespread philosophical historical background. Our consciousness, influenced by technology in the natural sciences, plus the aim of economic growth and a 400-year-long exploitation of nature, seem to have brought this crisis to a matter of survival. The causes for the crisis, I think that is very important to know, are first economic, political causes. And we have to see the reality that, for example, our system, our capitalistic system, is one of the biggest causes for the crisis. And that we all support the system, and we are in it, and we are influenced by the system. And the second cause, or maybe not cause, our philosophical historical background, and that basically influenced by our Christian history, led us into our way of thinking. The church itself plays today, I think, a very important role in still supporting certain kind of worldview which allows the crisis going further on and existing. It's not the fault of the church or of a system, but it is in it, and we have to consider that it exists.
Would you say that again, or explain a little more what you mean about which worldview, or what's the role of the church?
A little louder too.
I wrote down here as a short, brief note that the basics of the modern worldview are done by the time imaginations of Christianity. That means since then we started to deny the holy contents of earth, like other primitive religions did or are still doing. So it's a kind of secularization.
Mm-hmm.
And Christianity means or tells us that human being is the end and the aim of acting in the world, like what with other words, I think it's a Greek word, telos means. And we've got a task for creation by God, and we are fulfilling that with our modern technology to see the progress that is a part. And then there is the Bible, you can read about the contract after the great flood, you know, that we will prosper and all that, and that led, in my opinion, that played a role and led us to our worldview. It played a very important role. In my opinion, those in the field of architecture should also try to give a fundamental response to the challenges of the ecological crisis. That is one reason for my work. Second, as a committed opponent of nuclear power plants, I wanted to make a contribution which helps to show that the alternative, which is the use of natural energy supplies, is not utopian. A basic improvement in the situation, I think, is not imaginable without a new worldview, with new ethics. I call it ecological materialism, and new technology. Some people say here appropriate technology, alternative technology, soft technology. I myself call it mittlere technology, that means technology in the middle between primitive and between high developed. We need a new holistic lifestyle. Real utopias which should fulfill, as technology should fulfill, four requirements. Maybe I should say more about the new worldview and the new ethics. I think we should get from our economic materialism, which exists today, to an ecological materialism, and that is the capital, what I would say, for a new ideology. We aren't allowed to be as anthropocentric as we are now. Man is only one between others in nature. And we have to comprehend that we can no longer be idealistic. We have to be realistic, and we have to see that all the evil in the world exists. So I don't want to speak about religion. I think when we want to reach everybody and want to see changes in all parts of the world, we can't only stay in Christianity. We have to find values that that can be values outside of religion. And so with this ecological materialism, we could make clear to everybody that good is what is good to environment and for surviving, I would say, and evil is what, you know, what is pollutioning, in a very widespread meaning, pollutioning. Like, it could be pollutioning environment, or could be pollutioning relationships between people, or whatever. So that is a new worldview. Besides that, in that new worldview, with it, we need a new technology, and that should fulfill four requirements. They should be decentralized, human, energy and resource conserving, and environmentally sound. For technology, that would mean, decentral would mean the technology would be flexible and adaptable, less hurtable, less dependent, controllable, intensive for work intensive. It wouldn't need much transportation, and it would be very efficient. Human would mean one could look over what one is doing. One could look through the cycles, and you could I can't translate it at the moment. It would allow you to do satisfying and responsible work. It wouldn't be monotonous. It would be full of sense. It would allow handwork and brain work. It would allow you to be creative, and it would be holistic. Energy and resource conserving and environmentally sound would mean while producing, working with it, using, and while throwing it away, or it should be as much naturally as possible. It should be possible to recycle, and soft and non-violent, and some other things more I can't translate at the moment. That is the technology. The new lifestyle will have to be realized, roughly classified in three spheres: in the city, in suburbia, and in the country. I think we can't imagine a utopia only for the country, you know, all those small communities spread all over. For example, just for producing a bulb or so would require other forms of producing, and there are cultural needs too that would require agglomerations and bigger amounts of people living together. So I think we should be so realistic and see those three spheres, city, suburbia, and country. Especially clear and in contrast to our life today, the new lifestyle in the country can already be outlined as a model. Therefore, I planned as my thesis an ecological village. In it, the social sphere should be integrated into the ecosphere. The form of the organization is a fully cooperative society, that means union of production and consumption. I described in my work a very broad what utopia, what a real utopia could look like. When I planned the village, I tried to get more real, to make possible what is possible today, with a look always to utopia and with a look what we have today. So the village planned, as planned nearby Karlsruhe in southern Germany, has to fulfill the following tasks: rendering possibilities for a holistic lifestyle that is, which gives satisfaction to human beings physically, psychologically, and spiritually, and which fulfills the requirements for being decentralized, human, energy and resource conserving, and environmentally sound. Second, research in appropriate technology, lifestyle and products. Third, spreading the idea of the model, PR work. And fourth, support of similar actions elsewhere. So the first two I could create utopia today, and with the last two I could make possible a way to make it real for others. And that is, I think, the way we have to find today in every field when we want to make utopia real. If you plan a village, or if you just live in our family or whatever. The optimal number of inhabitants of such a village amounts to about 100 residents, according to experiences of American rural communities. When I planned it, I got lots of sources out of what I learned from the Hutterites, because they lived their community life for more than 400 years, and they really show what a community needs for the basic needs and for some other needs. To be able to live utopia autonomously, at least for the three basic needs of housing, food, clothes, one has to have certain means for living: space, building materials, life building materials, that means agriculture, and energy. And for my work, I started to find out all the means for the 100 people, or 80 to 120 people. So I started with the area, and then I considered what I need: rooms like for living, for housing, and for artisan work, and for laboratories, for research work, for administration, for art, for PR work, then for community living, and for agriculture, for Yeah, for everything one just needs for a community. And I checked all these means with the four requirements I told you about before. So I checked other rooms. Is that what I plan? Is that decentral? Is that human? Is it energy and resource saving? And is it environmentally sound? And I did the same with the building materials I wanted to use. I did the same with your life building materials. And I did the same with the energy supply. And through all my work, I looked to that and checked if I still was strong enough in those terms. The entire piece of land of about 250 acres is planned in such a way that it meets more than the basic needs. There's about 20 acres village area and adjoining space, 50 acres meadowland and pasture land, 130 acres agricultural fields, biological, and about 40 acres uncultivated ecologically restructured area with creeks flowing through fertile plain. This here is the plain I chose.
Was this an actual place? For
yeah, them? That's nearby Karlsruhe, and I just took that ball. Exactly the place I needed, and I planned it as it would be real.
Is there anything on that land right now?
No, nothing, just the fields. But the fields that are there are not very, very good, you know, huge fields without any ecological. Used to it, just often. I try to restructure it with all the land I can't really use, just nature. I try to do that too. You could see here what all it is. Here is a village, and then I have here meadows I use in a certain circle. Then there is a wine yard or special crops and special fruit, space for fruit and fields that are used in a certain way for 4 to 7 years to keep it as fertile as possible without using any chemicals and so on. Then I love the fish thing, I think it's not so important. To talk about peculiarities, there is, for example, a huge algae pond with three adapted fish ponds here, which function in symbiosis and are heated by biopiles. Biopiles, yeah, you want to know what that is? A biopile is a kind of a hill, and the content is wood, mostly big trunks of wood, and when they are covered with earth and yeah, greens, they ferment. And that produces lots of heat. At the moment they do research work on that, and still after 5 years you can get out of a little pile like that, a few meters long, water that is warm enough to bath in, or it's just, you know.
You mean like our compost piles, except you use wood?
Yeah, wood. We gardeners know when they, there's a special way of gardening with little hills, and you can plant the fruits that need warmer climate, or you get more out of the little hills, because it just they take branches in those little ones, or leaves, dry leaves, and that's the same system, but huge. And I use that very often, especially to the north side of my buildings, to get heat, to get heat from the north side.
How do you get the heat out of the biopile?
Yeah, with just simple hoses.
A hose?
Pipes.
Pipe into the
middle
of it?
Yeah, to just lead it through, you know, like in certain times.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Coil.
Yeah.
Is it water that flows through the coil then?
Yeah, you can use any medium you want to, you
okay.
know, what
Never
what
did.
You just need. Mulberry orchard for producing silk, or tobacco farming for producing natural weed control, and so on and so on. There are lots of things that I can't point it out. Or irrigation is done with self-manufactured windmills. I need them in certain points for running the circulation of the ponds, or for that irrigation in the garden, and so on. The village arrangement was done with view to the space needs for community life and individual life, and with view to the energy aspects, with aesthetics kept always in mind. Living, that means mostly sleeping, and certain kinds of work shall be able to be done individually. That is why those buildings are set apart from the common buildings, which contain the kitchen and dining hall complex, workshops, bureaus, studios, administration rooms, so-called school buildings, halls, library, store, restaurant, cafe, and recreation facilities like swimming pool, sauna, and so on. The common buildings are here arranged to the south, and the other buildings are here. For energy reasons, the buildings are designed to face south with buffer zones against the cold, like greenhouses, glass houses, excess space, secondary rooms, and so on. Waste heat shall be used optimally in the common buildings, from kitchen, swimming pools, for example, as well as in the living buildings, beneath which the animal barns, sheds, and garages are arranged. Air solar collectors, rock heat storages, and heatable walls are characteristics which allow for maximum utilization of natural renewable energy sources in this context. To complete the exotic picture, one could mention in passing the spaces designed for beavers, bear species, for furs and leather, bees, solar algae, fish ponds, and so on. Still near the village area, an intensive gardening area, biological, is designed, which will be irrigated by windmills too. Methane from anaerobic rotting of manure and greens supplies the energy for cooking, light, cars, electricity, of warmth, power coupling engines. A methane station is the center for that. So I don't know if you want to see that I have some plans for the certain floors and how I will arrange that. Or maybe you want to look when I'm through.
Barbara, what's the source of the methane, other than like chicken litter or what?
Mostly manure of the cows.
And in your proposal, the cows in a village of 80 to 100 people,
yeah,
produce the methane to do what in the way? Like how many cars are they driving and what?
I don't have the exact number here. I don't think
and
I
it's
could.
The and it's the cooking and the
I do, it's the,
lighting?
That's my main source.
Huh.
I considered a long time, shall I design a village, you know, a vegetarian village, and I rather wanted to do that because I would have needed much less space, because all the meadows and pastureland just for the animals, that means mostly cows, I have horses, I have sheep, special amount, I figured all that out, and I have more than enough to produce that. So I have a really big surplus. I figured that out. This are only pictures from big posters, but when I did the work, I wrote all that down and measured that from real figures, not utopian figures. But that is why the village and the area is so big. It's not real big, but it could be much more.
Are the meadows also fertilized by the cow manure? Or
yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, I have a.
I guess you've got more manure than I can picture. That's all
right. Well, how is it collected then? You know, you can't just go out and shovel it up out of the pasture.
Yeah, it was a problem for me to, you know, just to figure out. I need the manure for producing this biogas, this methane, and I needed the manure partly to fertilize the meadows, so I can't do both. So it was a conflict, and I decided in winter time I take the manure out of the barn where I need the cows to heat my living rooms, but that comes later. And I need less greens because I mix it for producing methane. You have to have certain mixture.
Greens.
But that's
what
that's a chemical problem. Greens, like you can use everything. There are special crops like corn that is very good to do that.
Starch.
The rest of the corn you don't need. And other stuff too. They are doing research work on that at the moment with just this simple grains, and they produce bigger amounts of methane than the manure does. Maybe you know about the Indian, what they are doing in India with manure only from human beings. They just get enough for cooking their tea for the day. That's all, but now that's the kind of progress and research. I think that is not primitive and that has to be done today. And they are on the way to do that. Some people are. Where did I stop? I wanted to ask you if you want to look at the pictures now and I could explain more, or maybe you like to do that when I'm through.
I have a couple general questions,
yeah,
if I may. You've got a village of 250 acres, about 100 people living there. Mm-hmm. I would presume that your goal would be to have a number of these, or maybe many of these, throughout the country, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What, if you expanded that concept as far as you could, what percent of the population of the country would be in such villages?
I didn't think that out, but as I told before, more people probably would live in cities and in suburbia, and I would be very careful to make plans about that. That is one thing. I believe we shouldn't. We shouldn't decide too early, like that's something you get out when you are in the progress doing that. That's not an excuse not being able to give an answer to you now, but I really, that's my opinion. I don't know the figures for the United States, and Bonsons didn't know it either for, and I don't know it for Germany.
You mean the population and the number of acres, what that would compute right now, like in the United States?
What I'm thinking of is 13 people per acre here.
Son?
All I know is that it's 13 people per acre in the United States.
Today?
That's yeah. Population. Yeah, but that's not agricultural population.
No, I just thought that might add a little bit to your picture.
Yeah. What I'm thinking of is years ago when we had much lesser population, we had far more people living in small agrarian or rural villages. In fact, in 1920 in the United States, about 40% of us lived in rural, or actually were involved in farming directly. Okay. Now it's approximately 2% on the farms. And we have farms that produce a great deal of food for our much greater population very efficiently. And I don't know exactly what the figures would be, but it could be calculated. If you increased it from 2% to 4%, you could calculate, or a good economist could calculate approximately how much our food costs would rise as a result. And I'm just wondering, if we're going to imagine putting that many more people back into farmland that's now producing food efficiently and make small, decentralized villages, what's going to happen to our food costs?
Okay, talking about costs. A picture of a real utopia would show more real what costs are. So our food costs today are not the real costs. They don't include, for example, costs for the roads that are built for transportation that need to be done to get your morningly yogurt or whatever you get from 200 miles away, or they don't include some social costs the state gives back to some farmers, you know, as support, as regular support or whatever, such costs. Our accounting is not, doesn't show the real costs. We would have in utopia an ecological accounting, and that would show that actually the costs for food, in my opinion, wouldn't be higher. And if they would be higher, even if they would be higher, I think you would get something else, you know, in other fields for it.
I think the question is when there's all these people living in their little villages and everything's going fine for them and they're eating well and it's not costing them a lot, they're doing their little goodies for the world, there are still going to be a lot of people in India starving because there isn't that much land in their use. Just because, you know, you're not going to be putting any more land into use. And as Borns has been pointing out, what we use is taking away from what someone else could use.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have the right to cover up this much more land to take the food away from somebody else?
We don't cover up much more land. I know a figure from Great Britain, and that is Great Britain can only supply its own food for 30% of its own food. So, and that's the same. Germany, I don't know what it is in the United States, but when you use land as intensive as, for example, here, you would increase the crop, for sure.
Oh, okay.
That you can see that.
Then, what you could house all of Great Britain on its island in these and feed them?
Yeah. I can give you sources that prove that. For Great
okay.
Britain, only oh. For Great Britain, not for Germany, because there is no research on that, but in Great Britain there was.
Mm. Okay. That sounds pretty impressive to me. I'm not arguing.
But Barbara, you start off by saying that, you know, that it was realistic. It wasn't realistic for a utopian idea to imagine everyone living in the country on farms. We had to consider people that live in suburbia and cities. And your model is sort of the beginning of thinking, right? I mean, have you extended it so far as to presume that the small village model of 100 people on 150 acres, whatever it is, mm-hmm. could be extended throughout the globe or throughout?
Yeah, but not for all people, as I mentioned.
I mean, people living in cities would have to, there would be other models, right?
Yeah, other models, but I thought it would be an example where I could include the most of what we need. Because in cities, maybe the food production would be only a very little part. And I wanted to show, especially to the architects, what is the whole problem. I wanted to cover the most wide field. And that is why I decided I do the village and I don't do the example in the city, not the example in suburbia.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, does that community export food?
Yeah, it has surplus.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm.
That is one
I
of.
Didn't get one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not planned for feeding people in suburban cities, but I use it mainly. I planned it for getting into contact to spread the idea. I think that is one way for a village to do it.
Can you further explain how much of your area you will cover when you put your manure in a methane gas producing unit with the coils, heating coils in it, the gas producing air cover over the top, how much of your 250 acres to heat and warm this community and provide its cooking energy? How much of this area are you going to use in the methane gas area? How much would be dairy? You say 50 acres for pasture.
Yeah.
How much for the methane producing area would you take? It would take a fairly large area to do produce this, handle it.
Just for the plant, for the methane
yes.
center?
Oh, how large an area will that cover?
It's very small. I'm sorry, I forgot the figure for the cubic measure of the thing. I had two kind of engines to produce that. You can figure that out just by the amount of manure you get and greens you need. So it's very simple. It's small. It wouldn't cover this building.
That would produce enough gas
yeah.
to supply the power for
the
cooking
plant.
And heating.
Mm-hmm.
And
because
you
produce it permanently.
Manure when it comes out of this?
Excuse me?
When it's expended, it's digested. Can that manure, the fiber and so on and so forth that's left from this process be used on the soil then?
Yeah, that is fertilizer.
I see.
And another way is they do at the moment is they, on one farm, they try to burn it and then to run engines with it. Could be another way, but I took it into my account as fertilizer on the field.
I hope you'll tell people that the church in Germany has picked this up. Did you want to say something about that?
Yeah, I think you got it wrong. there is a research institute of all Protestant churches, and they started to work with that, and they try to get the money to found a village like that. And they are working with these ideas and with my ideas, but this village will not be built, and I would be very unhappy if it would be built, because it was just one plan done in 3 months, and you know, it's not
effective. There is no plan or even hope that you have that this thing is built. I mean, you were showing concepts, and okay.
That is the concept, and
yeah.
And as I just told you, I wouldn't like to do it because it has to be better.
Can I check again? Did you say you thought England could feed itself?
No. It at the moment.
At the moment,
they only get out of 30%.
You think with planning, England could be self-sufficient on food and energy?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean,
I have trouble with that.
No, not energy. I didn't
not
talk
energy.
About energy.
Okay, food.
I didn't think about it. Maybe they can.
Well, Francis Moore LePay insists that Bangladesh can feed itself and export rice. I mean, and I hear that, and I don't know how you. I don't know how you test it. Do you have? How did you arrive at England feeding itself with villages or with some other? What's your input to say you think that's possible?
Yeah, with decentralized food production.
Decentralized food production.
Like we did, for example, in Europe before World War II.
Yeah.
You know, every little garden and.
Yeah.
And with our possibilities and our technologies of today, we could create other things too. I'm sure we would be able.
Barbara, I can conceive of a village this size being self-sufficient. I have trouble expanding that to the whole country. If Tom's figure is correct, there are 13 people per acre in the United States.
I think that's wrong.
No.
What is it here?
13 square miles.
15
acres.
Oh, 13 square
miles. That's
better.
I've got the...
That's better. It isn't one per acre yet.
It's about 5 acres per person.
Yeah, that's...
5 cultivable acres. That's 5 arable acres.
A person can live out of 1.25 acres when one is a vegetarian, so that's what you really need. And if you want to have energy out of manure, so it's increasing. So you can easily figure that out. Go to the statistics and figure out what you need.
I had the same question Stan had. My understanding, Stan, is she is not saying that she's ever dreamed of multiplying villages so that everybody lives in a village.
Mm-hmm.
She's assuming most people live in urban and suburban, mm-hmm. and she's assuming you would have to do planning for ecologically sound urban and suburban, and this is not the model. She picked village to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what, is that?
Yeah, what I'm getting at is if you start gobbling that much farmland with very many people, you start cutting off our efficient agriculture, which is the only thing that's feeding us so efficiently and makes us one of only 6 wheat exporting countries in the world.
I gather she's proposing using less land for these villages than is presently rural population. Am I right?
Yeah.
Run that by again. How do you do that?
That this is not, quote, gobbling up farmland for these villages. I don't yet see them. I guess I'm not asking you to project it, but did you project in a country how many people would live this way and how much land they would take and how much land is needed for the urban, suburban food producers?
No.
That's the first question
I answered.
Okay.
I think we shouldn't do that. I myself, in my opinion, I think when it really would get true, I think from the 4 or 5% at the moment we have in agriculture, it would increase to 30%, because it's not a primitive rural life. What I design here is very attractive, because you can do everything, you can do art, you can, you know, you still can, you even could use university, you know, because I think in such a concept and in future we have methods like communication systems that can be human, but in another way, high technologized, mm-hmm. and you could live in the country and still have the advantages of urbanity.
So but this type of village, if you're going to use cows, would be limited to more or less of a temperate climate. There's places in the southern United States this village would not work.
Sure.
Because cows can't stand too much heat. Mm-hmm. They milk cows in California, but they have to run them for 18 months or very few years, and then they die, and they have to ship them in from a temperate climate and start milking them again.
For sure.
So it wouldn't be applicable to the whole of the United States.
No.
It would depend on climate suitable for an animal industry.
Mm-hmm. And also it depends on the animal, too. You know, there are all kinds of strange animals that are around, like llamas and everything else.
But
we haven't done much with.
Yeah.
She's using cows.
I didn't want to create a model that fits in everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's just for that special place and nowhere else. And there would be concepts that would be different, you know, from 100 miles to the other 100 miles. It's only to give an idea where we can start to give a response to all what makes the crisis. Mm-hmm. More or less to...
You're not proposing an answer, you're proposing a process. Mm-hmm. This kind of thing has to be done for every situation, for suburbia, for urban area, for the south, for the north, for Africa, for India, for each area needs to go through the kind of process you've gone through for that particular site in Germany.
Yeah,
right?
But I don't think only...
Take the considerations into account that you took into account.
Yeah.
And use some of the ideas perhaps that you used, and perhaps some new ideas, perhaps more fish farms and less beaver farms, and more... more goats and fewer cows, or more llamas and fewer whatever.
What I personally try to do with it is, you know, like I do here now. Tell the people about an idea and then make them thinking about it. I can't do that now with my English and the situation and so on. But you know, I think with this village you can pick up something for everybody and could pick up things for every area, so whatever you are able to get out. It's as widespread as I could think. I think I should go on. Part of the PR work shall be done by selling the surplus products, by the encounters with short-term visitors, restaurant with biological food, theater, for example, and long-term visitors participating in seminars, sessions, courses, meetings. In case the additional space for the visitors in the houses of the community is not sufficient, the central fruit orchards serve as campgrounds. The sanitary buildings with jacuzzi, I got that out from Holland, are included in the plans for regular use by the villagers. Looking in a more detailed way at a living barn shed unit, that is one of the houses I planned more exactly, one can discover more clearly the ecological relationships. Barns, sheds, and workshops are situated in the lower story that is covered to the north by a heating biohill. Large south-facing fronts greenhouses and glass window surfaces, buffer zones, air collector roofs to heat the central rock heat storage and the heatable walls, small windows in non-buffer zones and to the north, shall optimize household warmth. The huge rock storage centrally located in each housing unit radiates like a tiled stove into the living room, ventilates with thermodynamic principles the barns, for example, utilizes by that way the waste heat and heats in the upper part a hot water tank for water supply. The hot air for heating the walls gets there from the storage through channels in the floor. With the hypocausters in the floor and with the chimney storage ventilation, one can get a cooling effect in summer too. Roll shutters and traps with insulation are additional climate conditioners. I could explain that to you with all the plans for the unit I have here, with cut-throughs and views and floor plans and all that. Who is interested, maybe, to whom I can do that later. As building materials are used only natural, healthy, energy and resource saving and environmentally sound materials. In this case, I used clay, partly bricks, wood, field stones, and so on. The way of building would allow self-construction by the inhabitants. The basic unit, 4 to 6 people, of the housing for families and other groups is an octagon with a central heat storage. In each of the houses are 8 of these cells. They are combinable in many ways through access space and community rooms so that even bigger living communities can develop. A gallery story in the southern part of the house allows additional variations. This kind of arrangement allows for individuality made to measure. The architectural barriers to utopia in the social realm should be minimized. The new living space could be summarized as a multi-layered space organizable area in which all functions of life are united in a complete bio-ecological and socio-ecological system. This plan is only one example. That is a brief conclusion to the plans. And I hope it made it a bit more clear.
This was part of architectural school for you, or a project that you chose voluntarily? Would you, and what are your hopes for it now? Can you speak to that?
I wanted to work with it, and in Germany there was nobody who did it. Hmm. And so I did it by my own, and at last I found a professor who said, okay, do what you want to do, and I give my signature for it, and you can have it as your thesis. So I could work theoretically before that and got some, I don't know what you call it. It was accepted as a normal work, and it was the same with the thesis. I only had to accept it. I had only 3 months as any other person.
Thesis for an advanced degree or?
For what?
Yeah, it's comparable to a master's degree.
Master's degree, okay. And what are your hopes for it now? If you don't want the village built, what do you hope for?
I hope I can work more with it, and I hope when I come back, this research institute will have a place for me, or will find place, or will work itself other ways, and will try to get the money from the churches to really build one. Not this one and not in this place, but somewhere else in Germany.
I see.
and I want to work with them.
I see.
Have you gone so far as to bring anything this down on paper? I mean, you're planning for these living units in this 250-acre complex. Are you, is your housing plan? Is it modular-type housing? Is it multi-floored, one above the other?
Yeah, I could show you that.
The considered land space, is that all taken care of? Have you planned any of this?
I could show you that.
She's got all that. She just didn't hold it.
You didn't hold it up.
It's not very detailed.
You haven't detailed it very, very much, or just a general concept?
You could get it out. One could start with building. These are the first plans you do as an architect. So the construction is clear. It's measured about. You, when you have a look, maybe you can decide if it can be done or not.
I just wondered if you had seen the Canadian, this type of life, communal life, the Russian settlements in British Columbia. They start with a very huge dormitory type building for many people in one of their settlements there. And this is a communal life. And you say you worked with the Hutterites in Germany?
This is South Dakota.
And in South Dakota.
And in South Dakota.
No, we don't have any in Germany, so. Mm-hmm.
And you are going to visit Woods Hole, New School of Alchemy, and see
I hope so. I hope to visit as many as communities as I can.
Uh-huh.
I read a lot. Was in contact, letters and so on. But I haven't lived in. Because in Europe we have only a few, and in Germany there isn't any.
Barbara, are you proposing a communal living in the sense that there will not be family units and families will not cook for themselves? Say something about a dining hall and
yeah,
kitchen.
Yeah, they can. So each living unit could be a family, could be a small group, could be a big group, could be a...
So they would have the freedom of choice?
Yeah, they have the freedom. I call that individually made to measure.
Uh-huh.
They have the choice. I think that's necessary.
Uh-huh.
Like they can choose how they wanna sleep. Do they wanna have their own room? Do they wanna share it?
Mm-hmm.
How big is the living room?
Okay. Is the idea that the people that live in this village would still be working out of in the city, perhaps, or in the mainstream of society,
no,
bringing their income?
No, this special one is planned self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
But before I started that, I knew that actually I shouldn't plan it, I shouldn't design it. I think when such a thing has to be done, the people that live in has to do it.
Yeah.
And they have to work it out, and it would look quite different.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't imagine another way to show people what could
yeah.
be like.
Right.
Would these people, you know, just have the knowledge to put something together like that? I mean, you know, just people who decide that they want to live in
well,
it.
They could hire somebody like Barbara to work with them.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to build a stove or whatever. So I think like many communities, you learn, and there are people that have different skills, and in the community it gets together. Maybe you need help from outside, maybe not.
Barbara, did you give some thought to the political or governmental or organizational structure? In other words, how would decisions be made to allocate housing units, food, resources, and so on? What
mm-hmm.
thought did you give to that?
I think people that live in would have to decide for their own, but my thought would be they decide together, and they choose people for certain fields where decisions have to be made quick, but it should be as decentralized as possible in decision making too. Very, I would say that very generally, as democratic as possible.
Would you have a money of any sort? Would there be any medium of exchange?
No, in the village itself, there wouldn't exist any money.
It's only 100 people.
Yeah.
There would be, what I personally see as a dream, but really as a dream, is a society that only exchanges lands, make gifts, but that's a dream. Anyway, you can make that true in small units like here. But as soon as you get into contact with reality, when you only have a model, you need money. But at the moment, I know communities in France, you know, that exchange without money. We have a movement, in Switzerland there is a movement, or there was a movement, anthroposophic movement.
What was it?
Anthroposophic? Anthroposophen, Rudolf Steiner.
Oh.
And he had visions and thoughts about community where really everybody is related to one another so close that, for example, they wouldn't need money. They wouldn't need much other things we need as means.
You mentioned surplus food as a source of communication with the outside the community.
Yeah.
Would there be any other export that would produce money in the outside world to bring in materials, like raw materials, or movies, if you wanted to import movies?
Must not be for money, but you would have to get some other stuff from outside. That's why I think there will be still a city and there will be suburbia, because the need of some products or some servings.
But would this village export anything else?
Anything else, yeah. Research work in appropriate technology. There is a space, there is room for research. And then not only the research work, but the items too. But that's all. Like tools they produce, or manufactured goods.
You know, in this country, my understanding is that the demise, the collapse of most of the religious communities was in their getting very prosperous corporately. They interchanged without money, a manna and all of those kind of utopian communities, and got very rich corporately because they did have good products and they didn't have much of a money economy. And when they got so rich corporately, then you got divisiveness. And the Bruderhof they have a book on children in community, beautiful photographs of the kids, and there are some Bruderhof communities in the United States. They have the plow press. They publish, they make creative playthings, the nicest wooden toys there are, I think. I mean, quality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that they do make a profit in the system of this country and don't need much money in their very simple life in the Bruderhof community. So it's kind of I think that's the history of several of them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
I see the problem.
Have you read that, or is that what you, is that your assumption too, of some communities that didn't have monetary among themselves, but had a product with the rest of society?
No, that's not my plan for it.
Okay, then I don't understand, I guess. I mean, they did have some surplus food, and they do have...
That is for spread, for spreading the idea.
Okay. But Eric is right, isn't it, Eric?
Yeah.
They do need, if, unless it's self, I can't imagine 100 people being self-contained, they need intermediate technology tools. So, again, I'm not sure it's fair to you to press the problem
no.
when you're creating a process, but that's what's fun. they are, as long as you picture, not a model for everywhere, but no people are going to live in cities and suburban, even though 30% of the people instead of 2% live in these. That's a good trend, because we now have 2% of the land with 98% of the people. The trend in the United States has to be changed somewhat, I think, because we're all going to megalopolises, and I just would like anything that shifts that some. They still then will be part of a larger society. You are not picturing something that's not part of a larger society, am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I think you do have, in some way, the problem that either Eric or I are talking about. How they get a movie or a new tool, and what their product is to bring them some kind of cash and way to communicate with the outside world that's still on cash.
Yeah. Maybe I couldn't make that clear.
Okay.
Say their surplus is in knowledge, some manufactured goods, and in agricultural product, mm-hmm. surplus product.
So you do envision some kind of, you said manufactured goods, some kind of a factory.
Yeah, but
making
in,
something.
But for, in the field of appropriate technology.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So like other people would need a special tool and they could produce it. Maybe they produce windmills.
Yeah.
So they would export.
But that's sort of, is in beginning to approach what John is saying, you know, that like...
But she says it's only for the spread of the idea, so you haven't...
Yeah, but when I imagine... excuse me?
No, go ahead. Well, but I can envision, you know, manufacturing windmills, and it catches on, and it's the hottest item around for people to buy windmills, and then you get into it.
But she said she hasn't made it clear yet, and was going to clarify what she did mean.
Yeah.
I saw that in the process, and I had to include the point when utopia was reached already, and the process way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want the people there, the community, to make any goods just to get exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say if they will make it. I hope so. And when utopia is reached, there will be only exchange. Like when we were at the Hutterites here, they had a big exchange between the communities, and there are 200 communities. By the way, the Bruderhof is still a Hutterite.
Oh, is that Hutterite?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I could see there how much they really needed from outside, and that wasn't much besides the basic needs.
You're saying they didn't need much?
No. These people would need more because they have more needs, you know, like books, like, I wouldn't call it luxury, but all what makes your life...
A good life.
Yeah.
Not privation like the Hutterites had.
No.
I mean, they really deprived, we would consider them, I think, somewhat deprived of cultural advantages.
Maybe you need a really highly developed technological thing, you know, just for building something you want to do personally, and, you know, I would think that's not luxury.
Is the 100 people an average, perhaps, of the Hutterite community you were in, or where did you...
Yeah, 60 people are needed for the basic, for covering the basic needs. 60, that is a figure I got out from the Hutterites.
I just wanted to get that a hold, because that's about what we are at now.